to see all of you here tonight. We appreciate your presence very much, especially Brother Wayne, as he's getting back able to be with us. I want to tell you a story about a little church that the preacher on Sunday night, only one person showed up. And he preached his whole sermon. And this was a cattleman, and he said, "Well, you understand, I had to give you the whole sermon." He said, "Well, when I have this one cow, I don't feed him a whole load of hay." But I'm afraid y'all are going to get the whole load of hay tonight. It's so good to see you, and I appreciate so much your being here. So much of the Bible is written to individuals. I recognize that so much is written to the church, both in what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do, but a great deal of the Bible is written to individuals. I want to talk with you tonight about 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 8. If you'll turn with me there and read that, we'll get into our lesson then rather quickly. As you look at this, you recognize that the Apostle Paul is saying something to every individual Christian. And he says in verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified." Do you know tonight that Jesus is in you? That's the question that Paul asked the Corinthians. And as we think about that, it's good to recognize the idea of examine ourselves. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about selfies. We have this custom now that everybody takes pictures of themselves. Well, Sally had somebody doing it for her in Georgia, but there's a lot of people take selfies and they post them on Facebook. So, nevertheless, we've got this to understand that this is not a matter of just taking selfies. This is a matter of really personal investigation of self. And Christians surely should learn how to do that, because even like I talked this morning about virtue and moral courage, this is something that every one of us needs to do, to look at ourselves, examine ourselves. And the idea is that we are responsible for our own sins, though we need to look at ourselves. Ezekiel 18 is that great chapter where the prophet was telling the people of God that you don't inherit your father's sins, nor do you inherit your father's righteousness. But in verse 4 and verse 20, he says that each man will be judged himself. You'll have to give an account for your own sins. And that's important to know. We live in a time where so many people want to blame somebody else or shift the responsibility. God is telling me that I'm going to be responsible for what I've done. And you recognize that, that's pretty important. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we're all going to give an account to the deeds done in the body, whether good or evil. And we have to recognize that. I'm going to use some other scriptures tonight that I'll not read for the sake of time, but nevertheless they're there in case you want to take them down and look for them. When I stand before the throne of God, my life is going to be opened. Everything that I'm not forgiven of will be open to everybody. And the Bible tells us very clearly that we have to fear God with whom we have to do. So when I get to the judgment day and my name is called, then in some way God is going to reveal my life. Now you think about yours. Are you doing anything that you'd be ashamed for the public to know? If you are, it'll be broadcast at the judgment day. But the wonderful thing about forgiveness is that they're gone forever. And so when we have our forgiveness, we don't have to worry about the judgment day, because he's going to say, "Enter in," and we'll be so happy about that. And so we need to recognize whether or not I'm in the faith. That phrase, "in the faith," means simply being a Christian, living as a child of God. And so as you read Matthew 25, which is about the judgment day, of course, remember Matthew 24 is about the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 25 is about the judgment day. And in verse 31 of Matthew 25, Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble." I think I'm in chapter 26. Pardon, let's go back and look at chapter 25 in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne of glory." Pardon me, my uncle told me Thursday when I had a study with him. No, he's coming back to sit on his seat in Jerusalem in the new temple. And he's picked that up from so much premillennialism. That's not what the Bible teaches. He's coming, will sit on his throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left hand. And that's telling us that each one, now you think about a flock of sheep and you think, well, they're all going to be judged. No, each individual, your name is going to be there. God knows your name and God knows my name. And we'll be there at the judgment day and our lives are going to be open. And it's a good time now to do that rather than later. You know, I can confess the name of God now to my salvation, but if I wait till the judgment day, I'll confess Him and bow my knees, the Bible tells, but it'll be to my damnation. So now's the time to look at ourselves and ask the question, am I really honest with my character? Am I really honest about who I am? Now, I need to ask that of me. And each one of you needs to ask that about yourself. You know, we can put on the front, and lots of people put on the front. They're not at all what they're supposed to be. And I know that we can fool people. I think it was one of the circus owners that said you can fool a lot of people a lot of the time. Well, that you can do. And to my sorrow, I've known some real hypocrites, even in the church. But we need to be honest with ourselves and look really at what I am. And so the examination must be the right standard. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, "It's not a man that walks to direct his own steps." Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are not my ways. And I've got to understand that. And so I can't look over here at the Baptist church and say, well, you know, I'd be a pretty good Baptist. Look at the Catholic church, say, I'd be a pretty good Catholic. No, look at the Lord. How do I stack up against the Lord? And look at what He teaches. So I need to understand that. And it's foolish to trust our own feelings. We talked a couple of weeks ago in class in 2 Corinthians 10 where people compared themselves to themselves. Now, boy, I can brag about that. You know, if I'm the bragging about myself and looking at myself, I say, you know, I'm not so bad. I hadn't whipped Pauline in years. And that's a joke, you understand. And she hasn't even whipped me. So, you know, we can judge ourselves by ourselves and recognize that I'm not so bad. And a lot of people do that, but when you begin to compare yourselves with the Lord, we come off somewhat different. And so Jesus said, I have words that will judge you in the last day. My words shall judge you. And so, you know, I don't think I'm going to... I thought about having a Bible put in my casket. I may still do that. But when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have anything but the Bible to judge myself with.
Amen.
I mean, all of you are going to be judging yourselves by what the Lord says, and I'm going to be busy with me. So I have to think, you know, the Baptist creed's not going to be there. The Catholic creed's not going to be there. Lutheran creed's not going to be there. Calvinist creed's not going to be there. Just the Bible. Just the Bible. And I've got to think, now's the time to examine myself by the Bible. Wouldn't do the good to take a doctrine of man and judge myself by that. I think I could make it pretty easy if I judge myself by some of the creeds. But when I began looking like 2 Peter 1 this morning, just talking about moral courage, that's more difficult. And so we need to recognize we examine ourselves by the Word of God. And examination must be thorough. I've known people who would say, well, I recognize I've still got this one thing, but I'm entitled to something. And one guy told me one time about the fact that I quit drinking, but I'm still going to smoke. You know, I deserve something. And a man would say, well, I'm still going to womanize. You know, I enjoy some pleasure in life. So we sometimes fool around with ourselves. We've got this little secret place in our heart where that's nobody to be seen. Nobody can see that. Nobody. I don't talk to anybody about it. It's just my secret place, and I do what I want to do. So I'm going to take a vacation to Las Vegas. But I don't tell you that I like to gamble. And when I get to Las Vegas, I'm going to spend the, what people say, just my recreation money. Just, you know, I just spend a little bit just to have fun. And they do that. Well, I don't tell anybody back home. So that's my little secret sin that I have. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and really take a look. Do I cuss to myself when I get mad? And think about traffic. Think about this bad traffic. And somebody cuts in front of you and somebody honks at you and somebody does something rude to you. What do you say? Just look at yourself. Be honest with yourself about that. Your faith must be proven, and you seek to grow stronger. We're not perfect, and we know that, but we have to try our best to continue doing what we're supposed to do and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 6 and in verse 1, the writer says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Go on to perfection. That doesn't mean perfection in the sense of sinlessness. That means go on to completeness. Be a mature Christian. Learn to handle things in your life, whether it's good or bad. I hear a lot of people who win the lottery, and in a few months they're dead broke. They don't know how to handle that. And Christians must mature so that you know how to handle bad things. Because I guarantee you bad things are going to happen to you sooner or later. But also some of the good things. And rather than be arrogant and proud when these good things happen to us, we take them in stride and thank God for them. So we grow stronger as we live. And then recognize that happiness comes from serving God. And we have no one better than that than Solomon. Oh yes, he built buildings and he planted gardens. He had a lot of wives. I don't know how much pleasure was in that. But he did a lot of things. But in the last chapter, when he came to the final conclusion of his life, he said the whole, not duty really, but the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
And you know, that's what we have to really look at. The end result of doing this. Now, I've known people that miss church to go fishing, miss church to go to family reunions. In fact, my nephew, when I was urging him to encourage my brother to attend worship service today, he said, well, I can't go Sunday because I've already committed to go see my son. And so he's not going to church today because he's got to go see his son. Why didn't he tell his son to come go to church with him? You see, we do these things, and they're going to be happy because they go see their son, and he's been married for a long time, but all of a sudden, he had a baby lately, his wife. And they were just so amazed that in his later years, he's got a baby. Well, that's wonderful, but don't put him before God. And you really so look at Matthew 6:33, and put the kingdom of God first, and everything else, they can go see him on Saturday. They can go see him next week. But they had an opportunity to go with a new babe in Christ and encourage him. And I've been afraid to call. I want to think they went to church today. And I made every preparation that I knew that they would. But it'd be so nice to have a brother there that would go and help him. Help one another. And so, I mean, we're working on that, but happiness does come from serving God. I look back at, you know, all the people that are drunkards and alcoholics, people that are so worldly, they don't have anything to look forward to. They just don't have anything to look forward to. Joel prayed about going to that city. And well, that means something to me. It did to Abraham.
Amen.
Going to the city of God, whose builder and maker is God. Folks, we're going there.
Amen.
Does it seem real to you?
Amen.
As I get older, it seems more and more real, doesn't it, Bobby? And so, yes, heaven seems really real. Now, I've never seen it. I've never seen a picture of it. But Abraham believed in that, and I'm going to the city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And my wife and I have thought about our family sometime not being what they ought to be and maybe not going, but we've decided between ourselves if they don't go, we're going to go and leave them.
Amen.
And we told our kids that. We want you to go to heaven with us. But if you don't, we're not turning around for you. We're going on. And that's exactly what I mean. I'm looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. And we want to walk the streets together. You know, I don't really know what God's going to have us doing. I don't think we're going to do like the old song says, roll around heaven all day. I really think God's got something for us to do. But whatever it is, I'd like to be a doorkeeper. I'd like to be anything just to be on the inside of that gate. And so happiness comes from serving God, and we do strive for growth. We do strive for being complete and perfect in the sense that I'm not like I was when I first became a Christian. And I told my brother, you're a babe in Christ now, and his wife. And they were overwhelmed by all the things that they had to study and to learn. I said, take it a day at a time. Just take it a day at a time. Learn what you can, as you can, and you'll grow. And that's true of everybody. That's true of everybody. So your examination must be thorough, and it has to be honest. Be sure that your sins will find you out, the Bible says. And in 1 John chapter 1, the one who claims to be in Christ and sins does not have the Lord. You've got to walk in and abide in the doctrine of Christ to have the Lord. And so these are things that recognize I can fool. I believe I could fool all of you if I put my mind to it. I could slip around and be sneaky. A lot of preachers have done that. I think I could probably fool you, but I don't fool God.
Amen.
Ever. And so, you know, if I'm honest with myself and honest with God, I'm not going to be slipping around and doing things I shouldn't do. And I would be afraid that I'd get caught. I really would be afraid that I'd get caught. And I don't know, you know, what would I do if I was doing something really bad and there stood Joel? He might do something to me, and I hope he would. But you know, God sees everything, and he knows everything I think. So I'm not going to play games with God. I want to be honest with him and do the things he wants me to do and be honest when I look at myself, to see myself as I really am. I heard a joke about a woman trying to get up her son and go to church. And he didn't want to go. He said, I don't like those people down there. I just don't like those people. I don't enjoy going. She said, but son, you've got to go. You're the preacher. Well, I enjoy coming here. It's not a matter of responsibility and burden to me. When I'm in the hospital, I keep my weeks by Sunday and Wednesday. That's when I know my days. And when I'm somewhere else and doing something else, time doesn't seem to matter anymore. But the idea is to be honest with myself. Do I really enjoy worship? I don't know. I know that our singing is not always the best. Pardon me, Terry. But we make a joyful noise to the Lord. And to be able to sing together and get ready to sing with the angels. And that's what I think about. When we sing here, one of these days, the Bible says, myriads of angels around the throne of God. And we're going to be singing with them. I've always wondered what that sounds like.
Amen.
And the Bible talks about it being like a waterfall. It's majestic and loud. And I'm getting ready for it when I sing. Now, I don't know if I'll sing bass when I get there. If I do, it'll be better, I think. But, you know, I think about those things. When I think about, well, I could do that. No, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go sing with the Lord. I'd rather go look at the Lord's throne. And that makes it real. And that's what I wanted to be, honest in my examination, and put Christ first, not my own self-will, like I'm taking a selfie. So we need to understand that. And then this examination must be continuous. It's not just a one-time thing, just like when I said this morning in 2 Peter 1. It's not just picking out one of those graces and doing that. It's a combination of all of them. That all of those things apply. And I want to look at each one of those and be sure that it's present in my life. But know that this examination is continuous. That I need to look at myself all the time. Because things interrupt my life. You have politics that so frustrates me, I just want to scream sometimes. I'm so tired, I can hardly wait till November, no matter what happens. I'm ready for the politics to be over for a while. And then I watch television, and sometimes in spite of trying to watch good things, something will burst on the television with a naked woman. And I couldn't believe, I love to watch the Olympics. But those men had on the skimpiest bikinis I've ever seen. And I feel guilty looking at, I love to see the swimming and high diving and all that kind of stuff, but they act like they have no morals at all. Have you watched the on the beach where they have the volleyball? And the women have on bikinis. Well, I like to see the skill of the volleyball, but I'll tell you, it bothers me that you see that sort of thing even before you know it. There it is in front of you. And so the idea is that I've got to watch myself, because those things sort of sneak up on you and do things to you that you don't want to do. Now, it's different when you go to a movie that's rated R. You know ahead of time what's that going to be. Much less a 6-rated or X-rated. In 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, "But I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Now I want to tell you, brethren, if Paul could possibly become disqualified, so can Tom Roberts. And so can you. We never get so confident that I think I can go anywhere. I baptized a man one time who really had a lot of trouble with bragging about himself. And he said, "I can look at a naked woman and it doesn't bother me at all." Well, he's not the kind of man he ought to be. And people sometimes say things like that as though that's impressive. That's, to me, just exposing yourself to temptation. Why would you do that? And so the idea is that we examine ourselves and all of those things. And the end result of all of it is, Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be you faithful unto death." And that means even in death. Be faithful unto death and you'll receive the crown of life. And so I'm going to be examining myself. Now, I have brethren who do that sometimes. I was told this morning I made a few mistakes in the bulletin. And I laugh about that. But I don't mind good criticism, because if I'm doing something wrong, you tell me about it. I want to know. But I think each of us has a responsibility to be looking at self. Now, I know it's real easy to look at others. You know, like a mother would say, "Well, my kid is precocious, but hers is a brat." Well, it's how you look at it. And Jesus knew that, because he said, when you criticize others and you've got that, they've got sawdust in their eyes, you be careful that you don't have a plank in yours. So I've got to look at me. I've got to look at me, and so do you. And I know that I'm easy to look at, because I'm always up in here feeding hay. But I'm grateful that you're here tonight, and I hope you've enjoyed the lesson and that you'll understand that as time goes on, you take some time every once in a while to really look inside yourself and be sure that you're like the Lord. If then you find yourself in some mistake or some error that shouldn't be, the good thing about it, and I talked with Mary about this earlier before services started, the good thing about it is that I can pray to God and be forgiven as I repent. And the precious blood of Jesus will wash me just like it washed me when I was baptized. If you need to respond tonight, we invite you forward as to stand together and as we sing.